key economic releases affecting fixed income yields. Insights into sectors influencing fixed income securities. How AAM plans to capitalize on these themes for your fixed income portfolio. The Portfolio Fix is a podcast series featuring members of AAM's investment and portfolio management team. We will discuss the timely issues affecting the fixed income investments of our insurance clients.
Welcome to another episode of the Portfolio Fix, a podcast series from AAM. My name is Patrick McGeever, and I'm a member of AAM's investment team. Today, as usual, I'll be speaking with Marco Bravo, who will provide AAM's latest views of the economy. And then I'll be joined by Andy Bolin, who will provide us some thoughts on how utilities are contributing to inflation and how the utilities are managing the different mandates they have in this energy transition that we're in. So with that out of the way, welcome, Marco.
Thanks, Pat. Glad to be here.
Yeah, it's good to have you. Inflation, Fed policy, and economic growth. Let's try to tackle these topics today. So inflation obviously is dictating so much of what's going on right now in terms of rates, policy, and growth. So let's discuss that first. What is the consensus view on inflation, and does AAM agree with this view?
Sure. Before we talk about the consensus, maybe some numbers.
Okay.
Last month, the headline CPI number hit 9.1% on a year-over-year basis, and that's a 41-year high. So inflation definitely on the minds of investors and most importantly, the Federal Reserve. If we kind of break down what has been driving inflation here, at least last month, the energy portion of the CPI contributed almost 50% for the monthly increase. And energy is up 41% over the last 12 months, with gasoline prices up almost 60%. And Pat, being the AAM's energy analyst, I'm not telling you anything that you don't already know.
Right.
But since, you know, since the kind of like the middle of June, we have seen both oil and gasoline prices, along with other commodity prices, start to come down. And so we think that should show up in the next report or the July CPI report. What is somewhat worrisome, I think, for inflation watchers is the shelter component, where we continue to see prices move higher. And last month, shelter contributed about 1% to June's increase. So that's something that, you know, we need to keep an eye on. I think economists expect or predict that CPI likely peaked in June, as the consensus among economists are forecasting the year-over-year change in CPI to average 7.3% by the fourth quarter. The expectation is for CPI to kind of slowly move lower. At AAM, we still see the risks to inflation as skewed to the upside, and that's largely due to continued supply chain issues. So our expectation is for inflation to come in above the consensus forecast for the remainder of this year.
Okay. The Fed, they're in a very difficult position right now. They've been very vocal about getting inflation under control. What is consensus expectations for Fed policy, given what you just said about inflation? And does AAM agree with consensus on what the Fed might do for the remainder of the year?
Sure, and you're absolutely correct. You know, with inflation remaining high, we expect the Fed to continue tightening monetary policy, which means a higher Fed funds rate. The next FOMC meeting is next week, and we expect the Fed, along with the market, to raise rates by 75 basis points. With that increase, that will bring the Fed funds rate close to the so-called neutral rate. But to bring down inflation, the Fed will need to bring demand down and more in line with the reduced supply that we're seeing. So that means increasing the federal funds rate above the neutral rate. And how much above neutral will the Fed have to increase rates in order to bring inflation lower is kind of the key questions that investors and us here at AAM are trying to figure out. So after next week's meeting, the market today is currently pricing in an additional 100 basis points of rate hikes. And that would leave the federal funds rate at a range of 3.25% to 3.5%. That is just slightly below what AAM's expectation was when we last met as a group a few weeks ago. So I would say fairly much in line with market expectations on how high the Fed funds rate is going to get in this current tightening cycle.
Okay. And sorry if I missed this. What is the neutral rate?
Most economists have pegged it somewhere around 2.4 to 2.5%.
Okay.
So if the Fed raises rates by 75 basis points next week, which we expect them to do, that's going to put the higher end of the Fed funds rate at 2.5%. So
Okay.
we should be at neutral after next week. And then the question is, how much above neutral does the Fed need to bring rates in order to begin to slow the economy and bring inflation lower?
Okay, I gotcha. So we talked about higher costs and the inflation, and you just talked about tighter monetary policy going forward. Generally, that doesn't bode too well for economic growth. So, what impact are these dynamics having on the economy and the markets right now?
Sure, and it's no surprise that most economists will say that the increase in Fed funds rate operates with a lag. So we should start to see a slowing in economic growth. But the first, we would expect that a rise in interest rates to first affect the more interest rate sensitive sectors of the economy. So one such sector is housing. And this week we got a bunch of housing data that all came in weaker than expected. Housing starts, existing home sales both fell last month. And an index which measures home builder sentiment fell to its lowest level since May of 2020. So the rise in Fed funds rate and the rise in mortgage rates is definitely having a negative and a slowing impact on the housing market. And then as time passes, we would expect other sectors to also begin to feel the impact of higher interest rates. Second quarter GDP numbers, the consensus right now is expecting that number to be somewhere in the negative 1 to 1% range. So we may actually see a second consecutive quarter of negative GDP growth. With respect to the market itself, and specifically the Treasury market, Treasury yields, we think, are now beginning to reflect this increased risk of an economic slowdown and potential recession. The yield curve has inverted, which means the yield on the 2-year is higher than the yield on the 10-year, and that spread is currently at minus 20 basis points. And historically, an inverted yield curve has been a very good predictor of a pending recession. And then if you look, across the yield curve, yields have fallen. So to put some numbers behind there, since peaking in the middle of June, the yield on the 10-year Treasury note has fallen by about 68 basis points. So we think that's reflective of the increased concern or increased risk of a pending U.S. recession. At AAM, we don't think the 10-year yield will end the year much above the 3% level, but it's definitely our forecast is higher than today's 2.8% yield.
Okay. And are we forecasting a recession at this point or no?
Well, I'll answer that question this way. With the Fed intent and focus on bringing inflation lower, we don't think that they will be successful in bringing inflation lower without avoiding a recession.
Okay. What I find really interesting is that over the past 3 weeks, 3 or 4 weeks, risk assets have done actually pretty well. When you look at like the S&P 500 index, you look at the high yield index, you look at investment grade corporates, they've all done pretty well here over the past couple weeks. I think that's really interesting given some of the weaker economic data that we've seen.
Yeah, and that partly may be due to the fact that the market implied forecast for Fed funds rate has actually come down over the last few weeks. So, you know, the expectation that the Fed will not have to raise rates as much as what was being priced in a few weeks ago may be partly due to the kind of improved investor sentiment among those risk assets that you just mentioned.
Yeah. Well, it's a difficult environment to navigate, that's for sure. So that's probably all the time we have right now, Marco. Great stuff as always. Thank you very much for your thoughts on this.
You bet. Thank you.
Next up is Andy Bullen, a senior analyst in the corporate group. So welcome, Andy.
Thanks, Pat. Glad to be back.
You're a frequent participant, so thanks for that. One item we all are trying to figure out is the role our sectors have in inflation. And you and I have had plenty of conversations over the past 18 months because one of the direct uses of natural gas is consumption in the electric utility sector, which you follow. So what can you tell us about electric prices this year?
Yeah, definitely a hot topic, and it's definitely something that the utility industry hasn't had to deal with in quite some time. So over the past decade or so, generally customer monthly bills have been trending below inflation. That's given a lot of headroom for utilities to pursue aggressive CapEx plans and to invest a lot in transition to gas and renewables. But for the first time in a long time, we're now having to deal with the inflation. A lot of it has to do with natural gas. So in 2021, electric utility bills were up 4.3%, which was still less than CPI. But our last print on CPI at 8.6% saw electric utility prices up 12%. So this is the first time in a while where we've had to deal with pretty high inflation rates flowing through to customer utility bills. And that's a headwind that industry hasn't had to deal with in a long time. So it's definitely an issue. Natural gas impacts utilities in two ways, which is one, it increases the cost of generating electricity, and two, it directly impacts the customer's monthly natural gas bill. Mm-hmm. And both of those are very high at this point and causing a lot of stress on consumers.
Yeah. Actually, given how much natural gas prices have risen over the past 2 years, those increases actually seem pretty moderate in my opinion. I mean, natural gas is up, I think it was up 200% in 2021, and it's up 60% in 2022. So the price increases you mentioned are manageable in my opinion.
We're early in that, you know, there's a little bit of delay in passing that through. So I think that's where you're seeing some catch up. And you definitely see, you know, anecdotally, we see different areas of the country with much higher prices. We've seen up in the Northeast, the doubling of the price of electricity, which is resulting in almost a 50% increase in household electric bills. So So there's definitely areas of the country where its impact is a lot greater than what's showing up in CPI.
Okay. One item that's really concerning to energy analysts right now is the threat of hurricanes this summer. If a hurricane takes out any refining capacity at all, we're going to be in a really problematic situation, given that utilization rates are already near 95% in the refining space. How are utilities prepared for hurricane season and I guess the summer in general?
Yeah, we have seen over the last few years, the data even shows this, that the incidence of major catastrophes is increasing, and the amount of power outages, whether they're rolling blackouts or major, you know, multi-billion dollar events, has been increasing the last couple of years. So it's definitely become a bigger issue. And again, the timing is not great because a lot of tailwinds from the last decade and now are turning into the headwinds. Mm. So they're trying to deal with this at the same time as they're trying to pass through the inflation. So so those costs of hardening the system and increasing resiliency ahead of potential catastrophes is adding to those inflationary pressures that are passing through to customer bills, creating another, you know, another issue on top of an issue. Mm. And so that's definitely a huge concern right now. We've seen a lot of securitizations where utilities are passing through the cost of previous hurricanes. So we're still seeing bills being impacted by hurricanes 2 or 3 years ago. So if we have more hurricanes coming up and this becomes more and more of a problem, at the same time we're talking about inflation, it just adds more pressure to the customer bill.
Okay, so you mentioned customer bills, and I think one of the interesting items about utilities is that their credit risk is largely influenced by the regulatory jurisdiction in which they operate. Are there any jurisdictions that you're concerned with because customer bills are higher than they typically would be, or jurisdictions that you're less concerned about? Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, that is going to be a big story to watch in the coming years. Because again, with all the tailwinds we've had for the past decade, that gave a lot of cover for regulators to allow utilities to pretty much pursue any CapEx plans that they wanted, pass through costs to customers, do securitizations. But now those regulators are under a lot more public pressure as these bills are skyrocketing, making it more difficult to work with the local utility. And so, yeah, there's traditional concerns in the Northeast, California. But I think the biggest risk is changes in the jurisdictions that we thought were stable. For instance, and this is definitely not a prediction, but we have to watch things. We always assumed Florida was an easy state to operate in, Michigan, different states like that. And I think the risk going forward for the utility industry and where the volatility will come from is changes in some of those jurisdictions where maybe there's a shift. We thought it was friendly, and then it, because of public pressure, becomes less friendly. So that is going to be a big theme for the utility industry in the coming years.
Hmm. It'll be interesting to see how they manage that. A lot of conflicting interests there. So okay. Are there any other topics or issues that you think could influence a sector over the next couple of years?
Yeah, I think as we talk about a lot, we're having a confluence of competing issues facing the industry, where decarbonization is ongoing. At the same time, we're worried more about affordability and reliability. And we talked about hurricanes and all the issues affecting reliability. You have fires in California. The other side of the equation is we're also having increased demand, general electrification of the economy. And then obviously we have things like electric vehicles and even crypto now. Crypto mining is absorbing a lot of capacity, especially in a state like Texas. And so we call that demand response or flexible load, because EVs and crypto have the ability to choose when they demand electricity. You can charge your EV in off-peak hours. And right now, according to Bloomberg, the average EV owner would save $1,700 per year in fuel bills if they charged in off-peak hours. So the ability for things like demand response and flexible load to help offset some of the hourly cyclicality of the industry holds a lot of potential to maybe address some of these concerns down the road. So EVs and crypto will add to the demand, but hopefully they also contribute to maybe leveling out the fluctuations throughout the day. Mm. or weeks.
That's
So I think
interesting.
that's going to be a key thing to watch too going forward.
For what was once considered a sleepy sector, I think it's probably undergoing more change now than at any point in the past 50 years.
Yeah, definitely. They've had pretty clear sailing for the last decade or so.
Yeah.
And we still view it as a defensive sector. We're still comfortable investing in it. But the clear sailing is the waters are going to get a little more choppy going forward, and there's a few more issues we need to watch.
That's a good way to put it. I think that's probably a good point to wrap up our conversation here too, Andy. So thanks a lot for your thoughts on the sector.
Thanks. Glad to be here again.
Yep. If you have any questions, please reach out to your portfolio manager or our marketing team at aamcompany.com. During our next podcast, I'll be joined by Marco and another member of our investment team to discuss a timely issue affecting the fixed income markets. So, thank you.